love one another, are there for one another. It's an amazing place, quite honestly. And who are real, too, which is pretty cool. Hey, we're going to receive an offering in a few minutes, and easy way to do that is through Push Pay. You can just follow the instructions right there on the screen and just in minutes be able to give. And thank you for your generous giving, by the way. We give not only to the tithe to meet the needs of the church, but we give above and beyond that to what we call the Harvest Project. And this year our goal is $55,000. Our servants' council just had a lot of faith, and they're like, we believe the Lord's calling us to reach higher and to believe stronger, and excited to see what the Lord will do through that. So in just a bit, we're going to have that offering, but before we do, I want to kind of highlight a couple things that are happening here today. And this first one's got me a little melancholy, I'll be honest with you, but we're praying out the Tyler family today.
Yeah, we are.
So if we could get Cody and Heather to make their way on down
here. Well, we got to bring the boys up here.
Bring the boys and bring whoever you want, guys.
Yeah.
We just love these guys so very much.
Yeah, we do.
And they have been a part of this family for a number of years now. And God connected us through mission. I met Cody when he was just a boy in Nicaragua. His family came. I met Heather as a young lady. She came to Nicaragua, and both of them were a part of our mission trips. And then God used that as a stepping stone for them to go into YWAM. And they've been on YWAM staff now for several years. And they're getting ready to take some steps, which I'll have them tell you quickly about and how we can pray for them. So we love these guys dearly. Would you give them a good hand? We just love them very much.
Yeah, so originally in this coming up April, I was going to be doing a digital film school in Kona, Hawaii. But over the past couple months, that has been delayed and felt like the Lord was calling us home to really just kind of invest and concentrate on our family and then immediate family around us and everything like that. And so I will actually be doing the digital film school next year, family in our Kona, Hawaii. And during this time, we'll spend this year investing in our family and our community. And we'll also be serving with YWAM Richmond out there. And it's just been really awesome because the Lord has confirmed that so much with us. And just the leading he's taken us to and everything like that. This is actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, you know, and so I was sitting back there and everything was fine. I was thinking about what I might say and stuff like that, and then I began to look around at what I know Heather and I would consider family.
Amen.
I got to thinking about it, and I was like, you know, while I think Paul is the only guy that we have record of liking or disliking churches that he went and visited and stuff like that, I can't help but wonder if, like, Jesus and the disciples sometimes had a hard time leaving, you know? Yeah, I think they did, but I think that they knew they needed to, you know, because the call is worth it. And so, you know, this is tough, but God is good, and he's been so good in the midst of this and the process, and I know he's going to continue to be good throughout that transition. And so, yeah, but you guys haven't seen the last episode or anything like that. We plan on making a trip out and coming to see you guys, so, yeah.
We heard that.
You want to say anything? Or...
We're going to keep you to that, Cody.
Oh, kids that grow up in missions are not shy. It's a great thing and sometimes a not great thing. You're like, could you please just be a little afraid in front of people? Yeah, but I just want to echo what Cody said and just thank you guys so much. I mean, yeah, you guys are family, have been family, will continue to be family. And again, I look around the room and there's so many personal connections with each of you and so many memories. And I was thinking, like, God, this is so hard to say goodbye. But I remembered some quote. I don't remember exactly what it says, but it says something to the effect of, when goodbyes are hard, you know it's because you love deeply. And so I use that as my encouragement and my hope to move forward, that we loved deeply here, and we will continue to love deeply and keep relationship. and have many good times for eternity. So thank you guys so much for supporting us, loving us, and just being the family we did not have here. So, yeah.
Hey, would you guys stand for just a minute and stretch your hands out toward Cody and Heather and Kinston, and if you can keep an eye on Kinston here. No, I'm just kidding. He is fired up today.
He's going to help me throw this away, by the way. Landed. He's looking for a garbage can.
We love these guys so much, and we're excited about what they're doing, and in full support of that. And they've been a part of our Harvest Project for a long time, and we've had the privilege of praying over them and sending them to all kinds of places in the world. And now this is their next season and their next step, and we talk about this a lot here. You know, church is really about raising up disciples and sending them out. It's not how many you seat. We always kind of get that metric wrong. It's how many you send. And what a privilege and blessing to send these guys again into where God's calling them, into that place that they might be fruitful for the kingdom, that Cody might continue to learn and grow in the skills that God's given him, the calling he has, and that this family might glorify God with all that they have and all that they are. We're really proud of them. So join me in prayer. Father, thank you for Cody and Heather and the boys. Thank you for the season that we've had together with them. Thank you, God, how you've just worked through the years, Lord. I just think about all the different people that we've connected with so powerfully there in Nicaragua as we were on mission together for you, Lord. And many of them we've had the privilege of seeing you bring here to Louisville to be a part of YWAM, to be a part of this church. And Cody and Heather are two that just are outstanding in that regard. We've had them here. They've been a strong part. We love them dearly. And now we get to pray over them and say, go and be blessed into the new vineyards, the new fruitful fields that God's calling you to, the new places of ministry that he's opened the doors for. God, I pray your blessing upon them as they minister to their family. Lord, many things have been going on there with their family members. May they go and bring life and encouragement and strength and hope to their family. May they be a blessing at Richmond YWAM. May they be a blessing, Lord, as you open the door and make the way for YWAM Hawaii, God. Go with them, protect them, use them, and may your grace be great upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys very much. Give the Lord praise, would you? Tomorrow morning? Oh, my gosh. Wow. See you, buddy. Love you. Wow, tomorrow morning. Okay, you can be seated. And Libby, Stanley, this is all happening on the same day. Pretty cool. Liberty Stanley, give her a good hand, is back from YWAM, Salem, Oregon. And had an incredible experience. Come on up on the platform, if you would, Libby, and just stand beside Miss Tracy and give us a little bit. Tell us, you just got back a couple of weeks ago, and you've had an incredible experience, I know, and we missed you, but we're happy to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. I just got back from Salem, Oregon. I went to Portugal and Spain on my outreach.
Wow.
So that was really awesome. But ministry was kind of hard. Going to predominantly Catholic nations, it's hard to, like, preach, hey, Jesus loves you. Mm. They look at you like you're insane. But we did a lot of kids' ministries. So we worked in schools, and we worked in the park. And in Portugal, we went to an international school. It was really cool to see how just our team's joy and how they interacted with the kids really opened up that door more for us, because we were only supposed to stay for an hour and ended up going back three times a week for 2 weeks.
Wow, cool.
We were teaching Bible stories through skits and songs and stuff, and that was really cool. And then when we went to Spain, the dynamic of our team changed a lot because we joined with another DTS. But joining with them opened up more opportunities because they had an established ministry in the community that we lived in. Working in the park, and that was really cool to be able to do skits again and dances and just teaching them, like, science experiments, like little paper airplanes and the aerodynamics of it. And it was just really cool to, like, pour into these kids' lives and see how doing that opened up the door for the parents to talk to us about Jesus and like just pour into them. Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it without all of you, and I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you all so much for your support and your continued prayers through this next season.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Libby. Amen. Mm-hmm. A lot of cool stuff happening around here. Yeah. God using people in amazing ways. So proud of Libby, and just happy to have her back. Hey, next Sunday, just spread the word, would you? You do not want to miss my dear friend and my new district supervisor, our new district supervisor, Shonda Crutcher. Mm-hmm. First time she's been here in the house. She's an amazing, dynamic communicator, amazing woman of God, amazing woman of the Spirit. And I think you're going to be really blessed. So get the word out. Be here next Sunday at 10 a.m. That'll be a real blessing to everybody who can make it. We've got Nicaragua coming up. Yep. Pray about that with us. And still believing God there for good things to happen this summer. And life groups. Tell us about life groups, honey.
Oh, my goodness. If you have not been able to attend a life group, there's still time. There's always time. And if we want to get to know each other, you know, the Lord spoke to us at the beginning of the year that he wants us to have greater, deeper connection and greater fruitfulness. And in order to do that, we felt like, hey, let's go to people's homes. Let's get together. Let's really see one another. And let's walk together and go deeper in the word. So there's a good time to pray. There's lots of food. And on the back, there is our life group board. If you're not currently in a life group, there's lots of opportunities. So we would encourage you to do that. And Sunday mornings are great, and we love seeing your faces, but I'm telling you, the life group is where you get the deeper connection, and we can grow as a family. Mm. So we're excited.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Can you give my wife a good hand? Love her dearly. Well, this morning, I want to return to a familiar passage. You know, sometimes you're praying about what to share, what to bring, and sometimes God has a pretty cool way of confirming it. If you read your Bible reading today in our daily life journal, or if you're tracking with us with daily audio Bible or the YouVersion 1 year Bible, you read this story today. Quite honestly, I didn't know it was going to fall on this very day. And when I was doing my Bible reading this morning, I'm going, oh, that's pretty cool. It's the passage I'm preaching from. And I think in the 23-month storm that we've all been enduring and walking through since the beginning of COVID, I think this is the third time that I've preached from this passage. It's been one of those passages that's been deep and meaningful to me as we've walked through the storms of the pandemic. And one of the things that I've noticed is not only do you have the theme of that underlying storm, but it seems like there's been many other storms on top of that storm. How many of you know what I'm saying? I've heard the testimony again and again and again in different places I've been, different pastor friends I have, that the 23 months since COVID began, February, March of 2020, it's been an unusual season of testing and trials for many. Tracy and I, you know, quite honestly, we're in the midst of a 10-year storm. Sometimes storms come into our lives. Sometimes they come unexpectedly. Sometimes they stay a whole lot longer than you expect, that's for sure. And sometimes the enemy tries to use those storms to beat you down. And this morning I want to talk about, I kind of gave it a long title, but I wanted it to grab your attention this morning. I think I have some things to share with you that are a little different and hopefully insightful and helpful with where we are in life. But I want to talk about the inevitable, inescapable storms of life. I have a pastoral concern that just leaps out at me after years of being a pastor. And today I would really like to settle some issues for some of us. And the concern I have is this, having been the pastor here for almost 30 years now, I've watched numerous folks walk through storms. And then I've watched others who are watching them walk through storms, only to realize that storms do happen. Then they have their own storm. And here's the concern. They weren't prepared for it, and it led them into a total crisis of faith. So I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. People have storms. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. Jesus says really clearly that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Folks have storms. Others watch as you are walking through a storm or someone's walking through a storm. And it dawns on you at some point, you know, storms happen. And sometimes they're unexpected and they're inevitable. They're going to happen. But then when a storm comes your way, are you prepared? Are you ready? Because a lot of times I've seen people, even though they've realized and acknowledged and understood that probably, yes, maybe, certainly, at some point a storm will come my way. When it did, they weren't prepared. They thought for whatever reason it would never happen to them. So this morning, I really want from my heart to help us hopefully settle the issue today that storms happen. I don't want you to be paranoid. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to be prepared. There's a sense in me as I pray and as I seek to pastor you well in this season, there's a sense, and I'll put it this way, that I believe God's toughening us up. I believe that there's difficult days ahead. I believe that we need to be rooted and grounded in our faith like never before in order to face the days that are coming. I think the last 23 months, yes, they've been trying. I think the days ahead may well be even more trying. I want to pastor you in such a way that you're prepared, not unprepared. Listen, I'm not here to sell you some kind of cheap, shallow faith where Jesus is nothing more than your divine butler waiting on your every need and caring, catering to your every whim. I am not here to sell that kind of faith to you where life is only going to be rainbows and unicorns for you, because that's not realistic or real. I want to share with you real faith. I want to share with you preparation of heart. I want to help us toughen up and be prepared and ready for the days ahead. Because friends, you're not exempt from an unexpected storm. And the sooner you realize that and you settle your faith before the storm even comes, the stronger you will be when the storm comes. Even though, in all honesty, some storms can't even be fully prepared for. I want you to think back with me a couple of testimonies that we've had just in the last month. We were planning to have a testimony from my dear brother, Chad Carlin. He gave it last week. How many of you heard that and were touched by that? Wasn't that an amazing testimony? Give God the glory for that. Yeah, go ahead. But I want you to know it was interesting, right? Because that whole testimony was wrapped in challenge. It was like the enemy challenged that on every front. Most of you know, I went to a big conference, had this wonderful opportunity to speak to this large conference of young adults. The first day of the year, the first day of 2022, I come down with COVID 2.0. Come back, you know, finally get over it. Was wanting to have Chad share the testimony, but I was sick as a dog. Couldn't make it to church. I said, Chad, let's just hold off a week because I want to be there when you share and I want to introduce you. And yeah, no problem, Pastor. Well, the next week he had COVID 2.0. He had it the second time. So then that, you know, and it was a tough case that he had, and there were some challenges. Ended up with COVID pneumonia, and we had to keep pushing it out, pushing it out, pushing it out. And here we were wanting to share this testimony to give God the glory for an incredible miracle and breakthrough, and there was so much challenge around it, we had to keep pushing it out. And then I think about my dear sister Pam's testimony from a few weeks ago, and just the incredible, amazing woman of God that Pam Scherger is, and the example to all of us of her faithfulness to God and her faith in God. And here she is just, you know, not long ago now, a couple of months ago on a vacation, a time with her family and weaving up some mountain roads, and ends up hit head on and on the side of the highway and having to be vacked out by an emergency helicopter and all these things. There's just storms, and some of them are unexpected. But we can prepare our hearts, and we can learn, and we can glean some things from the stories of Jesus and his life and his ministry. And this one today, it's a story so full of spiritual truth. It's just got lots of spiritual nuggets. If we'll take the time to mine them out and understand them, it'll help us deal with life's storms. And by the way, you know, this last week, since we gathered last Sunday, can you imagine all over this world all the things that have happened in that week's time? I mean, if you could go and you could look at what all happened all over the world. Talk about storms. All kinds of things have happened just since we gathered last week. Disasters, fires, shootings, tornadoes, earthquakes, car wrecks, cancer reports, affairs, divorces. The list just goes on and on and on and on when you think about the challenges that are happening, not only in our city, in our state, in our nation, but in our world. So Mark chapter 4 today. Mark chapter 4. I want us to look at this passage, read it together. It says this: on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." This is Jesus talking to his disciples after a full day of ministry, a full day of preaching and teaching. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Precious Jesus, thank you for your word. Would you give us revelation and understanding today from your word? Would you drop spiritual nuggets of truth into our hearts today that would prepare us, that would fortify us, that would help us? Lord, there's challenges all around us. There's challenges that we've walked through for the last 23 months. There's challenges that are ahead. There's storms, and some of them are unexpected, and some of them are longer, and some of them are more difficult than we would have ever imagined. But Lord, would you give us revelation today so that we can say and know and absolutely be certain that we have heard from you today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I want to share 7 things with you. There's no guarantee against life storms. We've kind of already said that a little bit. This storm, by the way, that swept in, it wasn't unusual, but it was unexpected. Probably when they sat out on the boat that evening, it was probably blue skies over them. But the cool air would come down from Mount Hermon, and it would cross the Golan Heights. It would descend further to meet the warm air of Galilee, which is about 600 to 700 feet below sea level. And when that happens, when that cool and that warm air come together, a storm can arise out of nowhere. You could start your journey on one side of the sea, blue skies, beautiful day, and before you get to the other side of the sea, there's huge waves and there's winds and there's water lapping into your boat, and literally your life's being threatened. And I want to say to us this morning, there's just no guarantee against storms. Even while you're obeying God, even while you're giving Him your very best, even when you're doing exactly what He's told you to do. Whose idea was this anyway? It was Jesus' idea. Jesus says, let us get into the boat and go to the other side. You know you're going to make it if He said, let's go to the other side. But it's His idea, and wait. This is kind of a flash for some of us, right? It doesn't guarantee, even though Jesus said it, that everything's going to be rosy. The disciples did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And not only that, He was with them. But what a difficult and challenging and testing journey it was. And God, He's doing something. He's doing something. God, the Lord never wastes an opportunity. He never wastes a crisis. He never wastes a storm. There's something to learn. There's something to glean. There's something to capture through it all. A lot of us, I don't know where we've developed it, how we got it, but somehow the church world seems to kind of convey this message that if we do all the right things, if we work right, serve right, believe right, that everything will go right. Can I just say to you, not so much in this broken world. You can be right with the Lord. You can be in the right place with Him, and things can go kaflooey. Things can be challenging. You know, this is always helpful for me when I'm facing a storm. In fact, one of my staff members came in today and they read the title of the sermon, and the first thing they said to me, Pastor Jeff, you going through some storms? Kind of dodged it, but yeah, I am. And then I feel it right now. I feel it. I feel the wind and the waves bearing down on me. One of the storms, like I said, has been 10 years, and I'm still waiting and believing for a breakthrough. Now, I haven't always shared a lot about this, and I'm sensitive to what I do share about this, but when my oldest daughter was 16 years old, she was victimized by a professional pedophile who was grooming her. And first time I ever had to contact the FBI in my whole life to alert them of what was happening, because it was a severe and a difficult and a challenging situation that, quite honestly, we've not yet still seen the breakthrough in. Because it set her on a path and it set our family on a path that has been difficult. Really difficult. For 10 years now. She was 16 when that happened. She's 26 now. We're still believing God for some breakthroughs and some healings there. Do you know this helps me. You might think I'm unusual and strange. That's okay if you do. But a lot of times when I'm going through a difficult time, I like to think about what the apostles went through. You know that once Judas got weeded out, all the rest of the apostles except John lay their life down for Jesus. And before that even happens, most of them had been persecuted pretty severely by that time before they were martyred. Paul says it like this. He says in 2 Corinthians, and again, you might go, wow, Pastor Jeff, you're a strange one. But this passage has immense comfort in it to me because following Jesus is costly. Being in, you know, Libby got up this morning and said, ministry's difficult. I wanted to go, amen, Libby, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. It is difficult. Following Jesus in a world that's becoming increasingly secular and opposed to the church and opposed to the message of the Word of God and opposed to Jesus himself, it's going to get more and more tough. And we need to toughen up. We need to be ready and we need to be prepared. Here's what Paul says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. How many of you have ever seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? Anybody ever seen that movie? Do you remember the scene where Jesus is taking the flogging on his back and how absolutely, wow, when I first saw that, I was almost sick to my stomach. So overwhelmed by the abuse of that, the horrific, horrific beating that he endured. Paul went through it five times. In following Jesus and in going where Jesus told him to go and in doing what Jesus told him to do. Five times. Can you imagine if Paul took his shirt off? His back must have looked like a roadmap, church. Five times he went through that. Three times I was beaten with rods. I don't know what that leaves you looking like. Probably just bruised and battered. Once I was stoned. That has nothing to do with drugs, by the way, okay? I mean, let's just be clear there. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep. Imagine bobbing out in the middle of the ocean for a day and a night, in perils of waters, robbers, my own countrymen, Gentiles, the city, the wilderness, the sea, false brethren. Let me just put it this way. Storms followed Paul. I mean, wherever he went, storms followed him. Chains were awaiting him in every city that he went to. He was covered in scars. This is the man we consider the greatest apostle, covered in scars because he was being faithful to Jesus in this broken world. Paul said, he said this himself, I don't know what awaits me, but I do know the Holy Spirit has shown me that in every city I'm going to, chains and imprisonment await me. Would you follow Jesus if that was the prediction? If I got up here today and prophesied and said to you, hey, the Lord's calling you, and what awaits you is chains and imprisonment, would you say, sign me up, I want to be faithful to Jesus? How many of you want to sign up for ministry today? Let's have an altar call. I'm being serious, folks. Face storms because the devil hates them and the influence they have on others for Jesus. So beware. Because they're inevitable and they're inescapable and they're going to happen to the best of us, even when we're in the middle of God's will. Here's the bottom line. The only hope of riding the storm out and getting to the other side is by having Jesus in the boat with you. And let me just tell you, you better not jump ship because you'll go down with the waves if you do that. And you better not throw him overboard out of the boat. There is something worse than going through a storm with Jesus, and that is going through a storm without Jesus. You realize that? Don't do it, okay? Take my advice on that. Don't do it. Number two, will you take him as he is? I don't know if you noticed this in the passage, but it just stands out to me. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along, took Jesus along in the boat as he was. In the biblical context, in the historical context there, it, you know, certainly this passage means they took him without any other provisions, right? They took Jesus along. No other baggage that was brought along. I want you to think about it like this. Some of us like to take Jesus as we want him to be, as we wish him to be, as we've in our own minds preconceived him to be. But they took the real Jesus. Will we take him as he is? Or are we going to take him as we want him to be? I mean, that's my question for you this morning. Because I see more here. Are you taking Jesus on your journey to the other side as he is, or how you think he should be? Are you taking him as the one who allows storms in your life, or as the one who doesn't allow storms, who always does what you think is right and affords you smooth sailing? I mean, we've concocted an Americanized, fake, drive-through McJesus that isn't the real Jesus. He doesn't even exist, and he's certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. Here's the fact, church. Taking Jesus for who he is means you're embracing smooth sailing. You'll have that at times. And stormy seas. Means you're embracing the fellowship of his sufferings as well as the power of his resurrection. Means you're embracing the blessing, which he definitely pours out, but also the brokenness that comes along the way. It means you're embracing all of it, all of him, all the time, taking Jesus as he is. Not as something you've concocted just to make your life easy and smooth. How many of you are hearing me today? Is it okay I'm preaching this series to you this morning? It can appear, by the way, that Jesus doesn't care about us in our storms, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. I kind of want to know what kind of pillow was that. You know, I'm on the search for the best pillow out there. Was that Mike Lindell's My Pillow? What was that? Is he able to fluff it up and it stayed in the same shape? What happened? I mean, I don't know how in the world he's sleeping through this. I want to talk about that. Maybe it was a Tempur-Pedic pillow. I don't know, but how could he have slept? And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Be honest, church. Come on, let's get honest. It can look that way and feel that way, and it's unsettling at times. If we're not, you know, it's unsettling but true when it seems that God's sleeping in your situation. But let me tell you this, underneath that unsettling sense, underneath that unsurety that we have, that uncertainty that at times comes to plague us and haunt us, it's only because, and I think this is what the story tells us, it's only because he's supremely confident that he can handle your situation at any time, however he wants. He isn't worried as your waves get bigger. He isn't worried that those waves are now lapping over into your boat. He can handle it, folks. 10 years into this crisis, my wife and I have been walking through this storm. He can still handle it, and I trust him to. I was walking one day right back there early morning in January about 5 years ago, and I was getting ready to lead the early morning prayer meeting in our 21-day fast, and I'm walking, and it's pitch black, and I'm walking over there, and the Lord says to me, "Take the long view." I was crying out for my daughter, for her healing, her deliverance, and for God to help in her situation. Take the long view. Man, that wasn't what I wanted to hear. But it is what I heard. And it's been, as I said, several years now, and I'm still taking the long view, trusting that God's got a time for this situation and for the breakthrough. Here's a question for you this morning. If you only had two options for this story, okay? this story of Jesus and the disciples, which would you rather have? Would you rather have Jesus sleeping in your boat, or would you rather have Jesus in the back of the boat, terrified, wringing his hands, saying, "Oh my, me!" You know, because he's not going to say, "Oh my God," he is God, you know, so he says, "Oh my, me," you know. Some of you didn't get that. I'm trying to help you out there. Would you rather have him sleeping or would you rather have him terrified? I mean, if he's terrified, what about me? Man, it's not looking good. Things aren't going well if he's terrified. Here's the fact, guys. Here is the fact. And I'm putting my life on it, everything I've got. God's apparent sleeping isn't a lack of care. It's a demonstration of his utter confidence in himself to handle your storm in totality as he sees fit. Because he's sovereign. We talked about last week, you know. In the name of Jesus, we talked about praying in the name of Jesus and what power there is, that name equals nature, and that when you pray according to the way he lived out his life and what he demonstrated his cares and his concerns were, in the name of Jesus, there's power, there's real power. And I don't know about you, but it mystifies me in a sense. You know, it boggles my mind, right? I mean, here's my dear brother Chad. He's in church. The Lord speaks, and he literally feels a warm hand come and clench his chest together and heal that where he had that surgery, just heal it. I mean, that was an amazing thing the Lord did there. And then he gets COVID 2.0, and then he gets pneumonia. What? God's sovereign. I don't understand it all. I never have, and I never probably will on this side of the situation. God's got bigger thoughts than I do, and I need to learn to not panic when he seems quiet. I just need to do what he's told me to do. How about you? And I need to trust him. Number four, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's not the storm that awakens Jesus. It's our cries that do. The storm doesn't awaken him. Again, how in the world can he be sleeping in such a great windstorm when the water's literally lapping into the boat, when the boat's being tossed about like a rag doll? How can he sleep through that, but not through, "Hey, Lord, don't you care? Hey, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" The cries of his disciples wakes him up. There's something sweet and tender about this, folks. It's not the storm that wakes him. It's Peter's cry. It's James's cry. It's John's cry. See, the disciples' cries weren't just for help. The disciples, they were in protest to what they thought was his apparent indifference to their perishing condition. This is what you might call holy complaining salted with a little bit of fear. Now, I think, you know, you read the story, without a doubt, Jesus prefers to hear a great declaration of faith from us. But I want you to get a hold of this because it's powerful. But I love the fact that Jesus responds to a cry of protest from his children. Sometimes my prayers are raw and they're real and they're not flowery, and you might even be uncomfortable about some of the things that I find myself praying because I'm just being real with God. God, what is going on? Okay to be real with you guys. I take great comfort in that. I hope you do too. I might be strong, you know, but I'm not that strong that I never struggle. But he's still there for me. He still loves me. He still rescues me. Are you glad of that? I'm really glad of that. And I'm really glad of this next point. Storms don't last forever. They've got an expiration date. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Someday, at some point, Jesus will arise and he will rebuke your storm, whatever it is. I don't know when, but he will. And when he does, he'll bring calm. And in all honesty, I don't want to paint any kind of picture that's not realistic for you folks. I'm trying to be gut level real. It might be on this side of the equation. It may be on the other. But here's the thing. In the midst of it all, we don't need to be defined by the storm, but by the Savior, who is the storm stopper. All the battles, all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the wind, all the waves are going to come to a screeching halt one day. And that's going to be totally awesome, folks. One day Jesus will say, "Peace be still." One day Jesus will bring the calm that maybe we've been waiting our whole lives for. The fact is this, either in this life now that we live or maybe in the life to come, storms will stop, peace will be full, calm will be restored. Storms should not and will not define us. And they won't destroy us, and they are not our destiny. And we need to settle it with him today, church. I'll never forget, in the midst of this storm that I have described to you, that Tracy and I have been walking through for 10 years, one of our dear friends and one of the leaders in our lives called us and said, "I know you will do what you have done time and time again." And man, I was waiting. I was like, what are they going to say? "You will trust the Lord. You will do what you've done time and time again. You'll trust the Lord." Here's what happens through the storm. A revelation of his power will increase in your life. And in all honesty, folks, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I realize that this generally only happens in storms. That this comes most often on the other side of the suffering. That's where the deeper revelations that sometimes we cry out to God and so desperately long for, that's where they actually come. Who is this? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Even the wind and the waves. What's your even? What is your even? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Even in the midst of this, Jesus is Lord over it. Even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of betrayal, even in the midst of sickness, even in the midst of bankruptcy, even in the midst of divorce, even in the midst of the greatest challenges you can imagine, even then, he's Lord over all those things. See, the disciples had some experiences with Jesus, right? They knew that sickness and disease obeyed him. They knew that devils and demons obeyed him. They knew that insufficiency and lack obeyed him. But even the wind and the waves? This was new. This was a revelation. They'd not seen this before. And to be honest, it scared them spitless. It says they feared exceedingly. And they looked at each other and said, "Wow! I mean, who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Have gone revelations, friends, of God's power are reserved for those who have gone through difficult storms. Consider this. Consider Job. Think about his life. He lost it all. His health, his children, his wealth. He lost everything. All the while knowing to some degree that God was good and God was powerful. You read those opening chapters. This is a man who has a sincere walk with God. But listen to how he describes his relationship with God, the revelation that came after the suffering. It's found in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. He says this, "I have heard of you, by the hearing of the ear. This is what he was talking about in his earlier state when he knew of the Lord. He did. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. In other words, he's going, God, I didn't see you clearly. Now I do. In your greatness and your sovereignty, forgive me, God. I've heard of you before my suffering, but in my suffering, you read the book of Job. I got to that place of blame and bitterness. Now I see you. I see who you are. I see what you allow. I see what you do, and I'm sorry. I repent of my blindness and my bitterness. Now I see you through it all. I see you. It's a greater revelation that comes to Job. Lastly, let's close with this. The other little boats benefit when your storm stops. I don't know if you noticed this. This has for some time been standing out to me in the passage. It says, now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. I've often thought, why did they include that in the passage? And other little boats were with him. Have you ever considered this morning that when Jesus rose up out of that slumber, out of that sleep, and responded to the cries of the disciples, that the other little boats that belonged to, that the storm stopped for them also? That they were touched too? They were impacted likewise? See, people need to know that somebody else has made it across. People watch with how we're dealing with our storms and how we ride our storms out, and it helps them ride their storm out too. They need to know there's hope for them. If you've met people who've gone through severe storms in this life, I can almost guarantee you there's some of the people that you've met along the way that had the deepest connection to God of anybody you've met. Something's been forged in those really difficult places, those really difficult spaces, those incredible challenges that just doesn't get forged in the heart and the life any other way. What a privilege when a person rightly rides out their storm, because it benefits others. Others want to see how we walk through the difficulties and the challenges. People are watching you and I. Did you know that? That might be a little unsettling to think about, but you know, if you're going through something, people are watching how you're handling that, how you're walking that out, if you're going to trust Jesus. Or like I said earlier, and I've seen this happen so many times, we know there's storms, we've seen other people, but when they come our way, wow, all of a sudden we freak out and we lose sight of who's in the boat with us. Listen, if you can ride your storm out, knowing that Jesus is in the boat with you, it'll clear their storm up. I mean, your impact will make a difference for many others. There's a kingdom value to all that we go through as believers. So I want to close with this. The greatest question for the follower of Jesus is not, why do storms happen? Or will storms happen? That's not the greatest question. The greatest question for the follower of Jesus is simply, will you take Jesus as he is? Will you ride out your storm with him and get to the other side like he's promised? And will you help others get there too? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? really like to ask our worship team and our ministry team to come back up, please. If we could get our ministry team across the front, that'd be great. Hey, I guarantee you there's some of us right now that are going through storms. And some of them are pretty tough storms. There's small storms and there's big storms. There's short-term storms and long-term storms. But some of you are really going through some storms right now. And Lord, I just pray right now, you just make it so very, very real to us that you're there in the boat with us. That we would not lose sight of that. You're in the boat with us. And we're going to make it to the other side. Would you stand? Would you stand? We're going to worship the Lord a bit. And man, if you're in the midst of a storm, would you come and let somebody pray for you this morning? Or maybe just come out of a storm. Or maybe you just want to prepare your heart in case a storm's on its way. Just let a brother or sister pray for you this morning. I'll come back and close this in just a minute. God bless you.
Like the rushing wind, would you breathe within my heart? Through the raging storm, would you hold me in your arms?
Daily, Lord, you're in the boat with us, regardless of what storms we encounter. You're in the boat with us. You're there with us. You'll take care of us. You'll see us through to the other side. You're always faithful. You're always true.